Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrich. Quat is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrich here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, thank you. Still the greatest of all time and with some GSD on top, Dennis Cometti.
Is his birthday this week?
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Yeah. Hello, Den. Happy birthday. 75.
Oh,
a great man.
Great man.
And he's still bagging me too. Every time we come on this podcast, I hear him bag me.
Does he?
Well,
Of course. Yes.
Can we change that bit?
No.
You know, when we listen back, I listened back the other day, it sounded like I was drunk. Have you ever listened back?
There has been some commentary out there in the community,
Barrett. I can categorically say, at this time of the day, what is it, 9:30, I'm not drunk.
Well, I did see you bring a six-pack in last week.
Am I a slow talker or something?
No, I'm not sure, mate.
You reckon I'm going all right? Or is that
people do say you,
some feedback.
Talk over the top of me a bit.
I wouldn't mind a few emails. You know, what about the bloke who said that I was the one making all the big statements and you were the straight back?
Well,
you were Jeff Boycott.
Well, you know, you know, they're very perceptive, our listeners, mate.
Hey, Jeffrey, what do you got for us?
You are bought to... You are listening to Quarters and Barra. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch. Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Barra, before we get into the games, a big couple of days in footy re the illicit drugs policy, the IDP as they call it. And it's a mess, whatever your views are on it. And I think most of us are aligned in certain directions on it. My view quickly is that, look, I'm very pleased that they are reviewing the situation at the moment. I'm not totally against the framework and why it was set up the way it was, the illicit drugs policy.
Do you want to go into it for our listeners as to...
So there are two policies. There's the WADA policy, which Sports Integrity implements, and that is match day performance-enhancing testing.
So normal stuff.
If you go, you're 4 years, yeah. You know. And the other part of it is the illicit drugs policy, which was aimed originally at recreational drugs, and what happens there is you're tested away from match day, and you can be it's really, there's a three strikes component to it. First strike, your doctor hears. Second strike, the club and your doctor hears. Third strike, there's a you're basically named and shamed,
which
and
never happens.
Which never happens.
Now, because now we know why.
Because so what?
A whistleblower has told us.
But we've known that this has been going on.
Did you know this?
Well,
know that there were blokes pulling out with fake injuries?
That's been the cackle for 20 years, Barra.
Right, you actually knew,
I've not seen anyone. I don't know specifically players, but there have been players. I've not seen it with my own eyes, but this has been speculation for 20 years. So the latest news, why this has got such momentum this week is because it has... was basically tabled in Parliament under parliamentary privilege. And the latest development is that the AFL allegedly endorsed out of sort of testing regime at Dorovich Pathology in Melbourne, so that players who perhaps were using illicit drugs wouldn't be playing at the weekend. They'd fake an injury. They wouldn't play at the weekend so that they wouldn't be subject to testing and face a four-year ban.
And we should name it, in particular, the Melbourne Footy Club.
That's right.
Because the Melbourne doctor was the whistleblower in all of this, and he came out and he said, yes, what we used to do was, okay, the guy comes in, say, one of their star players, and goes, mate, I've had a big weekend. I might have, you know, overcooked it. We have one of those blood urine tests and just see how I'm travelling. They test, oh, geez, you're positive. I'll tell you what, I'll go and tell the coach, Simon Goodwin, who reckons he knew nothing about it. I'll go and tell the coach that your hammy's a bit sore and you can't train tonight. Or I'll go and tell the coach you can't play this weekend because you've got hammy awareness. And then it'll be nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Hey, goody, so-and-so's out today, hamstring awareness. I mean, that is ludicrous, isn't it?
That
is a ludicrous system.
It is. It's not great.
And I know confidentiality with the doctor and all that, but they're kind of using that as a shield to not change things.
Okay, so if you're you know, you look at the glass half empty, you look at the cynic, and the AFL's protecting its brand. They don't want players going to be banned for 4 years regularly for drug use.
Yeah, because if they test positive on game day, it's a four-year ban. But so they're trying to avoid that, obviously.
That's right. This is what it's
about.
And the
players are saying, yeah, but it's about our mental health and we're getting help. And the doctor will be tipped off and he'll go and do something about it. And I'm not sure. And then, but then what happened was Glenn Bartlett, who's, you know, a friend of this show and as a former Eagle and was the chairman of Melbourne, the president of Melbourne, he was the one who wanted to blow the whistle on the whole scenario, and they ended up necking him. They got him out of the joint, and he's gone after him for defamation and everything else, and that he's driving it. So if you've got a president going, hey, this ain't working, we've got a problem at our club, we need to hair test people, including some of the coaching staff.
So where we're at yesterday, the AFL, the AFL Players Association, the AFL Doctors Association all came out and said it's about the player welfare. So we are unapologetic that we force players out of games if they're going to test positive. So before we talk about that, I understand you've got to ask the question. There's two questions.
How they rationalise it.
Well, how you rationalise it is it's about the player's welfare. So does publicly shaming them on a first strike do them any good? And there could be arguments that no, it doesn't.
Okay? But let me ask you this, Quarters. You're a dad. Mm-hmm. You've got young boys. Are they teenagers? They're teenagers.
Yep.
If I say to my son, mate, don't use drugs, it's not going to be good for you. And then he does use drugs and I go, oh, all right, well, it doesn't really matter. And you know what? I'll cover up for you. Let's just ignore it and I'll cover it up. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to keep going down that path.
Yeah.
If there's no penalty. Because there's no penalty. And I'm sure with Willie Rioli, that is part contributed to his scenario. Because he probably thought, I'll get away with this. I'll just pour some Gatorade into my testing and it'll be
But that's different.
Tampering.
That was the WADA testing. So that was actually on match day. So
but it's that philosophy, that whole thinking of, I can get away with this.
Yeah, gotcha.
I couldn't work out why Willie thought he could get away with pouring Gatorade into his test. And it's because of that mentality of, we're never going to get busted. Oh, sorry, Willie, you actually are now because you have done something really major.
So I don't mind the education component of it and the fact that you're looking after a player's welfare. However, Barra, clearly.
As a father, you wouldn't do that with your sons, would you?
If there's 100 players in the system, as has been revealed overnight, it's not working. So whatever education systems are in place, it's not working. So yes, we have to review it, and yes, we have to look at the three strikes.
And we've seen we've seen blokes go down the path and not be deterred or diverted, as they say.
So what
you know, that diversion policy that has, we know blokes that has not worked.
That's
for.
Right, exactly.
We know five or six.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or seven.
So greater penalties will add as a deterrent. No question about that. How you handle it from there, though, do you publicly name and shame? Well, you're going to have to if they're going to have a lengthy period out of the game. And you can't lie about it.
You can't rock up at the club and say, I've had a massive weekend. Mm-hmm. I've been on the gear. Can I have a urine test? Oh, I'm over. Okay, I'm going home. Can you just cover for me? But who does anyone think that works?
Well, if you looked at, there's an excellent article written by Caitlin Bassett today, who's joined the West as a reporter, a sports writer. And Caitlin was the captain of the Australian Diamonds. And Caitlin argues that, you know, during her career, and they're short years as a professional athlete, she would never have thought about it because it would compromise her career and, you know. So I think we've definitely...
She thought it was ludicrous?
I think it's a mess. And
she
She thought it was ludicrous, yeah.
So other sports are looking in going, yeah, what?
When you start making up injuries, this is where it gets messy.
Because you know FIFOs get drug tested when they go.
Yep.
So for people to... So people can relate. It's like a FIFO turning up at... You know, he gets on the plane, goes to the gate, and he goes, hey, doc, company doctor, I think I might have had a big weekend. I might be over here. Can you give us a free test? And then can you cover for me and ring up and say I've got a migraine? I can't work today. I mean, what the?
Yeah,
and OH&S, how does that work as well? You know?
Interesting.
Does a trigger go off? So does an alarm go off and go, we better get this guy some help? Or do they just go, that's young blokes nowadays. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I have.
That's what happens in the under 30s.
If you want to draw another little segue, it's that Glenn Bartlett actually approached the AFL executive while he was chairman of Melbourne and said, I believe that all senior executives at clubs and in the AFL should be subject to the same tests as players. And he was pretty well brushed aside. And not long after that, he was removed from his post, Barra. I'm just saying.
Don't go after the bigwigs.
I'm just saying, mate.
So, I'll tell you what's funny is that, I mean, I obviously I have a vested interest in terms of I'm friends with a lot of those guys that we're talking about. So, you know, I would get pretty passionate about it, wouldn't I? And pretty emotional when I've seen what's happened. And also with Glenn. But I'll tell you what, your paper did shock me today. I went down to the cafe, walking the dogs, and I pick up the paper and the big front page says, Demons in Drug Shock. And I'm going, oh, no, what have we done now? I thought it was the Perth Footy Club. And then I realised it was the Melbourne Demons. Whew. And I saw Ben White down there from the Eagles. Hey, Benny, look at this. Because he's a big demon man as well.
Yes.
He goes, no, what have you done now, Barra?
Here's a question. Do you think, so if they do go to sort of remove the three strikes and if you're done, you're done, right? And it's a bit of a name and shame. Do you think there will be more of them, so it won't be such a great stigma attached to the players who are outed because there'll be more of them? I'm talking about Smith in recent times at Melbourne, who clearly, son of Sean Smith, who's been quite vocal the last few days. So he went last year, failed a match day drug test. They played Hawthorn. So he'll face a four-year ban. They're the rules. But we definitely need to look at it. How we do it, the education system in place isn't working. So there's so many areas, and you know, this is probably the drama that was required to force a change.
I think it just needs to be wound back a bit. It's got right out of hand at the moment. It's all too easy to get away with it, and you've got to have some penalties and some deterrence. So anyway, that's how, and they are doing that, aren't they? The Players Association is saying, okay, we'll have a look at it now. And they've been having a look at it for a long time, by the way, but now's the time to act, boys. Would that be right?
Oh, absolutely it is. And look, the time frame of it, they're talking about probably next year introduced and maybe vote, having some sort of change for the clubs to vote on around mid-year. And they're talking about introducing a new policy next year. So
I'm surprised the government hasn't got involved as well.
Well, they sort of have. It was put on the table under parliamentary privilege. So they may well act on this. And it's just not a good look.
So some of the funding that was linked to footy, we're not happy with this image.
Do you reckon there might be some other codes who are a bit nervous watching all this happen?
I think, to be fair to the AFL players, they've really been, they're probably the most tested in the world, aren't they, in terms of a sport? That's the other side of it.
Well, what we've got to really talk about is the fact that the AFL Players Association agreed to this. So the players agreed to have this out-of-competition illicit testing in 2005. They didn't have to, but they agreed to. So we'll give them a tick there.
Yeah.
However, it's clearly been abused. It's clearly been abused not only by players,
exactly,
but at a higher level. And clearly, it's just not working anymore. So we do need change. And look, it's a great adult conversation to have. And let's get the system right.
And don't give them a massive tick for doing that because you know the Olympians, they have a similar scenario. And if they're not home and the drug test has come round, they can get suspended just for not being there. So they've got to advise where they're going to be all the time.
Yeah.
And
what if you're at the supermarket?
Yeah, mate, if they're saying they're coming at 2 o'clock to your house, you're there. If you're not there and you haven't got a great excuse and they can't get to you within a certain period of time.
By the way, you know there's nothing discreet or elegant about it. You know when you get tested, you have to wee into a cup right in front of them. They have to see you doing it.
I know.
Which is, you know, they do. So it's...
And it's very hard under pressure like that, particularly if you're dehydrated.
So I find it hard at the doctor, Barrett, doing it in the next room.
So they're always bringing in Gatorades and filling it, whoever's getting tested, filled up, you know what I mean?
Sometimes I find it hard just at the footy when there's pressure on me, there's four deep behind me at the urinal.
I know, there is pressure there. But very close.
You get stage fright, Barrett, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Doesn't matter what's... What you're carrying. Where are we going with this? Anyway.
Now, you're excited about the waffle?
I am, mate, yeah. I should have mentioned it on radio today. It was remiss of me to not...
Well, you can mention it here.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say...
Great listening audience here.
Exactly. Tonight, West Perth start the season off at Plantagenet Stadium, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it is, yeah. With their...
Pintonet? Yeah.
Pintonet Stadium, is it? Pintonet. Pintonet Stadium.
That's it.
Oh, no. Fongy, Neil Fong's going to kill me now. He's going to hear about this.
Barra said it, Fongy.
Oh, jeepers. Anyway, so they're playing there tonight, seven-ish against Claremont. It's going to be a stunning start to the season. And the great thing about West Perth is they've got these tremendous lights up there now, new lights, equal to MinRes or Mineral Resources where we are at Lathnane, probably even better. So you can play night games there. It'll be fantastic for television. We'll be broadcasting that. And then, of course, on Easter Saturday, the rest of the teams play. Perth plays at 4 o'clock or around 4 o'clock at Lathnane. We're taking on Subiaco. I think this has been revealed now. We've lost Jack Avery, our centre-half back, broke his foot. But it's going to be a big clash. I'm looking forward to see Charlie Constable up against Greg Clark, the former Eagle, up against the former Sun. Two of the best players in the competition. Should be spectacular.
Get out there and support the Waffle. It's, you're quite, it's Pentanet Stadium, Pentanet, by the way. Yeah, yeah. So, Neil, there you go. We've looked after you. Now, good luck to all the Waffle teams. You've got a cracking season ahead, mate. Look, let's talk about a few games. We've got a pretty big round coming up, mate, starting tonight. But first, let's get the latest on the market with David Short from Tab Touch.
Shorty's Tips.
Well, welcome, Shorty, and you smashed him out of the park again last week.
It was a good week. Thank you very much, Quarters. Yeah, if we saw them well, hopefully we can do something similar this time around.
And you're, who's hot this week? New South Wales footy?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the New South Wales teams. GWS, they're 7.50 into 5.50 to win the flag, and crosstown rival Sydney, 9.50 into $6. They both had excellent starts to the year.
That's a big shortener for Sydney, isn't it? Jeez, imagine if they come up and you had the 9.50. Hey, listen, G-Man, the cooler, Collingwood, obviously tonight, big game. If they go 0-4, I think they're going to get even colder.
Indeed. Started the season, Zip 3, horrible start. They were clear-cut favourites start of the season, $5.25. They're out to $12 now, big-time drifters.
I see you get the G-Man. You're a part of a special club now.
Thank you very
G-Man
much.
G-Man reference, Barrett.
Very special.
G-Man of TAB.
Now, you have been absolutely white-hot on the hot punt. Who are you going for this week?
Well, let's hope we can continue it on. We're going to team up with Carlton, Frio, Sydney and Geelong all to win, and the Western Bulldogs to win by 25 or more. That's 337. I'm giving that a really good chance this weekend.
Jeez, that looks pretty good. And on the drift, so everything Collingwood's on the drift, including Nick Dacos even.
Yeah, he was clear-cut favourite at the start of the season, $5, nearly half the price of any other player. He's now nearly doubled that out to $9. So going stone cold, the punters are abandoning Nick Dacos.
Plenty of the season still to go, though, Shorty. So still value, I reckon. Caleb Sarong has started the year in ripping form.
Unbelievable. 46 disposals in round one and then 35 in round two. When the markets open up, I'll be banking on him to get 30-plus again tomorrow. I think he's just in spectacular form, and I would expect that to continue on over the next little bit.
Thanks, Shorty, and have a great Easter.
Pleasure, guys. All the best.
OK, Barra, round three. Tonight at the Gabba, Brisbane, $1.38 v Collingwood, $3.05. And would you have believed going into this season that both of them into this game, zipping three.
Well, no, zipping two and zipping three. But yep. You know what? Winless, both going in, the grand finalists going in winless, which is quite remarkable. You're right, Quarters. And the burning question is, I suppose, will the Lions have had the bye? Will they reset and everything will be sweet? Lockie Neal will be back. But I noticed that Duday, can you believe he's done his knee
poor
again?
Bugger. Yeah.
He's done his knee
Shocker.
Again. He was coming back. He was ready to go.
Partial tear of the ACL. Had it just coming back. Crossed over from Adelaide. And they were looking forward to having him in that defence, Brisbane. And he would have been really handy for them too. But
when I saw him at the hotel here in Perth after they played against the Fremantle, they were staying in the actual middle of the city. It was so bizarre. It wasn't like down on the foreshore. But they said the bye's what they needed, and it gives Lockie Neal the chance to get back. So you'd think that they'd get the job done, but that means the Pies go 0-4, which means statistically they basically can't finish top four, which means, as you know, it's very extremely unlikely that they
can
go back
to back. Easier for a Melbourne team than an interstate team, though, to come at from outside the top four to win it.
I'll give you the stat. It's not impossible to make the finals from 0-4, but only Sydney this century have started with the same record or worse and gone on to play in September.
When was that? What year?
They went 0-6.
Do you remember what year it was?
Don't say what year it is. And how's this? Steel side bottom. So he swung the axe. Steel side bottom managed. And now people start thinking, has this got to do with drug testing?
Yeah, well, that's the problem with this at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
Completely innocent players.
And the other bloke
the
out this
question marks will be put over them.
Clayton Oliver.
Particularly when it's managed or, you know. And now, by the way, no suggestion at all with Steele. But
that's
just
where
saying,
you start thinking. Is he being pulled out? Oleg Markov's been dropped as well. And so they've got Will Hoskin-Elliott.
The strong man at the circus.
Yeah, John
you
Noble.
You seen him?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty good mo.
Johnny Noble, the man who's sort of, you
unlucky.
Know, missed out on the grand final, the premiership. So he's not pulling any punches. So, and De Goey, can he get back to his best form?
Interesting, I was talking to Sharad Wellingham, former Eagle and Collingwood premiership player, last weekend, and he was talking about early season buys and whether they were useful or not. And maybe in Brisbane's situation it might have been because they were playing pretty bad footy. But he was saying, no help at all. He says you like to get a bit of momentum behind you and perhaps mid-year is when you need a buy, when it's really the meaty part of winter and you're really sore and it just helps you sort of reactivate, but certainly not early in the season. Lachie Neal's a massive in. Barra, Brisbane has won the last four games between these teams at the Gabba by an average of 33 points per game. Collingwood last won there in 2019. Interestingly, the Lions took just 5 marks inside 50 against the Magpies when they last met. That, of course, was on grand final day. And that was their equal lowest tally inside 50 marks for the year last season. Collingwood, this is the crux of it, Barra, have launched a score from only 8.8% of their defensive half chains, ranked 17th in the comp. They led the AFL in that measure in 2023. That shows you what's happening to Collingwood.
That's how they picked them apart.
Teams Ross are playing Lyon, the high press.
Yeah,
and
everyone's worked out they score from their back half. And teams that score from their back half, well, they did pinch a premiership, so you can't argue with that. But they eventually they're going to come unstuck. And you know the burn. You know what's big about this is that really for Collingwood, this is almost like their grand final already. If they drop this, they're pushing the proverbial uphill.
Tell you what, Brisbane doesn't want to lose two at the Gabba either. First two.
Belter, who are you going? I'm going Brisbane.
I'm going Brisbane, but this is going to be line ball this game. It's only because they're playing at the Wacker and probably Lachie Neal is an in that I am going for Brisbane in this game. Friday, Good Friday, 1:20 p.m. at North Melbourne, $6. Carlton, $1.13. They're big odds, and we saw with North Melbourne last week what they're capable of in one and a bit quarters, but not quite four. From the 10-minute mark of the second term last round against the Dockers, the Kangaroos were outscored 13-4, despite having just two fewer inside 50s. So that shows you where they're at, Barra. There's that mid-forward connect, and also I would suggest a bit of youthfulness about them. They just can't get it done for four quarters. Carlton, they've changed their game a bit. Post-clearance pressure factor of 173 this season so far, ranked number one. Marvel Stadium, the venue, they've only won 4 of 8 last year, one of which, however, was against the Kangaroos by 23 points in round four. Some big ins for them. Wiedering and Marchbank come in. Martin's still not available. I'm picking Carlton to win this game, clearly. But you know what? I do smell a bit of a rat here, Barra. I reckon this is one of the games, if you want a bit of
value,
tab touch value, you go for that $6.
No, I like the Kangaroos. What they did against Fremantle, I was quite impressed in parts of the game. So the question is, quarters, if the Kangaroos put a four-quarter effort together, would they beat Carlton? Are they good enough to beat Carlton if they
over four quarters, what they produced, the sample size against Fremantle, yes.
You think so, yeah. And you know what? It's all about Clarko ball, isn't it? North ball or whatever it is. The way the style he's playing, that can break teams open. It's very modern style as well. Energetic, young Kangaroos, Sheasel and McKercher and all that. So you're right, there could be a boil over here, especially coming off the break. But we'll be staying with Carlton, I think, just on the odds.
Let's swing to Perth, Optus Stadium, 4:30 p.m. Good Friday. Fremantle, $1.52. Adelaide, $2.55. Fremantle, just some little queries over Fife and Tabana, back soreness. They're expected to play, but if they are late withdrawals, that is why. O'Meara was the sub last week, so he's waiting in the wings. Erasmus Brody, Cooper Simpson waiting to debut as well. Pretty impressive comeback both weeks. We spoke about this Tuesday. They've got to address the starts. They're very slow off the mark. But, gee, they finished well. Luke Jackson in ripping form recorded a career-high 23 effective disposals in round two, booting two goals for the second week in a row. 26.2% of the Dockers' score, Barra, has been generated from centre-bounce clearances, the highest percentage in the league. So they're really getting to work, that midfield unit. Caleb Sarong, Nat Fyfe in nice and close there.
Because of the corn.
And also because of the unicorn on rollerblades.
Yeah.
Luke Jackson.
The unicorn on rollerblades. Sarong. And Brayshaw was fantastic in the second half. I think Ben Cousins tonight.
Hayden Young.
Tonight on the news gives him a massive rap, which is unusual for Ben. He just said, mate, the way he lifted, he struggled a bit early.
Hayden Young as well.
Got caught. Yeah, he didn't have a lot of the ball, though.
No, he uses it well.
21. Jackson had more ball.
Jackson was fantastic.
Than Hayden Young. How's that? The ruckman had more than the midfielder. But Brayshaw, he got caught holding the bowl and everything early doors. And Ben was waxing lyrical. Are you going down to Longmuir in a moment?
No, I'm not.
Who's doing that?
I don't know, mate.
11:30 is talking at Optus. So we'll find out about Fyfe and Tabernet for you.
What I like about Freo, they've out-tackled their opponents significantly both games this year. So they're up for the contest, Freo. And they're also playing really well down back. Alex Pearce is in great form.
Sensational.
Luke Ryan, 550.1 effective metres per game, ranked number one in the competition. Jordan Clark's he's like a brilliant little general back there. Mm. So they're settled down back despite a couple of injuries. Still a work in progress in the forward line. Jai Amos was a bit quiet last week. He'll have those weeks, and then he'll have weeks where he kicks four or five. Tom Emmett, Tom Emmett. So a lot to work on still, but yeah.
The Jai Amos thing, Tabernard sort of upset the apple cart in there, hasn't he, a little bit, you know what I mean? So with the injury, I mean, if Brendan Cox there, probably suddenly Jai Amos looks a lot better. But Tracy Amos and Tabernard, I don't think it's the ideal scenario. And
You want Jackson down there and Darcy back in the ruck.
Yeah, exactly. You don't. I love Tabs, but I don't think he's the man to get him to.
See, Tracy's your man, and I'm glad you've come around with me on Josh Tracy, our old mate Cyclone. He's the man. He plays like an old style centre half forward. You want him to just halve the contest and create a bit of mayhem, hurt some bodies. He does it well.
He's going to be sore mid-season, that's for sure, the way he goes in. So he might even need a break. But those starts, I was thinking about that. I mean, it's a trend now. There's no doubt. It's been happening for a couple of years. So I don't know I'm going to ask him today, what have you come up with? I can remember trying a heap of different things ourselves. Remember Paul Mifka used to always listen to the Rocky song?
That's my go-to. Or the Eye of the Tiger.
All his entire career, he would listen to that song.
You look like a bit of a Sandstorm man.
I was Bon Jovi.
Oh, were you?
Bon Jovi, yeah.
You would have had the old Walkman?
The Walkman. Rugby league was the classic one. The way they get themselves pumped up with just absolute violence. Like, when I played rugby league for that year, I remember one game at the Wacker, and I'm pretty sure a few of the blokes would have had five or six Sudafeds just to fire themselves up, right?
Can't do that now, pseudo ephedrine.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably okay in those days.
Now
it's caffeine. They have five or six caffeine tablets. That's why they can't sleep after a game.
Watson, the Olympic fencer, the caffeine tablets.
Yeah. What did he have? 45
coffees or something,
Espressos, they reckon. But it was obviously. Anyway, so I'm in the rooms there. I remember when the rugby league guys, and they get so fired up and they start just. It was like a brawl had broken out. They start belting each other.
Well, no wonder. Like, it was what they're about to do.
So, but after that, I decided when the warm up was on, I'd be in the toilet. I said to MG once, have I told you this?
Mark Geyer,
120 kilos, 6'10, you know, like fearsome. Probably this one of the scariest blokes in rugby league ever. And I wanted to get in the back of his mind. And so I said to MG, mate, I just don't get this violence. And what do you love about rugby league? And he goes, I love it when I run into blokes and I hear their ribs crack. I love that.
And you're about to play and you're thinking, I'm in the wrong place.
And I'm going up against David Gillespie, whose nickname was Cement.
Oh, no.
Mate, and in rugby league, when you're called Cement, you're the toughest bloke out there. You know what I mean?
Lazarus was the brick with eyes.
And they just try to kill you. They literally try to kill you. And then their two mates come and try to kill you as well. It's frightening. Anyway, that's a digress.
So
but what can
Adelaide,
they do for their
I see
starts?
What Adelaide needs to do to get some skin in this game is they've taken an average of 6.5 marks inside 50 per game, which is ranked last. So Taylor Walker Barra. If you remember his last outing at Optus Stadium in round 24 last year, 21 disposals, 9 goals and 14 score involvement. So Tex has to get to work for them to have any chance. Interesting to see what they do with Soligo, who played sort of like a defensive midfielder last week. So they need to probably get him around the footy, given what they're coming up against. But I'm picking Fremantle in this game. But it's a little bit of a...
Mate, the Crows were so vanilla. I saw someone say they were their midfield was vanilla. Oh, that's a good. That's a good term. They were just.
Yep.
There was bland. There was nothing going on, and even Rochelle and Rankin or Rankine. Is it Rankine or Rankin?
Depends where you come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly, mate. Isaac Rankine, Rankin.
That'll do.
They just haven't. They're not in that sort of, you know, inside.
They're very good players. I'll get there, but you know they're more. You have them in the forward line. They're going to create mayhem at some point. But look.
No, but you need them in the middle now. You need them to be the blokes in and under and getting the ball. And I think one of them got subbed. The other one didn't play well. So Nick's got re-signed. Now they're saying, did we do the right thing? Like, there's a question mark over Adelaide now, isn't there?
Didn't hurt Freo.
No, it worked
with
beautiful.
With J-Lo.
Yeah, well, that just tells you something, doesn't it, maybe? So Freo for you and me.
Yep. Saturday, 1:20 p.m. Marvel Stadium. Essendon, $2.40. St Kilda, $1.57. Out for Essendon. Peter Wright, Redmond comes back in, so that's a handy in. Essendon's won 4 of the last 5 games against the Saints by 54 points per game, which is significant. St Kilda scored 79 points from intercept possessions last round against Collingwood, its most in any game over the last 3 years. Out, big outs, Barra. Max King, Liam Henry and Mason Wood. So they're big outs. I'm going to pick St Kilda in this game. Will Essendon bring the edge, Barra?
The edge. That did not help Peter Wright.
No, it didn't.
The mention
but
of the edge.
He deserved the 3, given the current climate.
He got 4, mate.
Sorry, deserved the 4. Deserved the 3, got 4, but that's the climate we're in at the moment.
Yeah, but he didn't deserve 4. I mean...
You'll cop it.
All he did was lead for the ball and some bloke came back into him.
Yeah, but it was...
That guy, you know, I reckon that Cunningham and people, players just going back with the flight of the ball, maybe we get rid of that. Maybe that ultra courageous stuff.
We spoke about that on Tuesday. And so both players have a duty of care, but you can't do it anymore, Barra. He whacked him in his shoulder to the head, so you're going to cop weeks for it. So you know that.
Yeah, but 4 weeks... That's not 4 weeks.
Okay.
Not in a billion years.
Well, Wayne Carey doesn't like it. He's not watching AFL anymore. He's watching NRL now.
Yeah, no. What's he going to do, the duck?
You know what? I reckon he'll last about... It's a great game, NRL. I love it. But he'll miss the AFL. I give him about 2 weeks. He'll be back.
Mm. Hey, Max King's out of the team. So Tim Membry, what, does he play tall? Poor mate. And the Bombers conceded 131 points last weekend.
Yeah.
131. They scored 100 themselves, but 131.
You get them through the guts. And so
Redmond will help that.
Yeah.
Won't he? Yeah. He'll help them not
well,
get scored against.
Defensively he'll help
and
them.
And Parrish will probably play too, won't
Parrish,
he?
They reckon's an in, yeah.
Yeah, right. So who are we going?
So who? Well, I'm going St Kilda. You?
Yeah, I have to, I suppose. Just because of Ross
Lyon. You don't
Lyon.
Have to. You can pick whoever you like.
But...
The coach doesn't get any
not,
kicks.
I'm not sold on the
coach
Bombers.
Coach won't be out there.
But he'll out coach Brad Scott.
Will he? Brad Scott's a good coach.
Mate.
Okay.
No
so
comment.
Who, so you're St Kilda.
Yep.
Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Port Adelaide, $1.48. Melbourne, $2.65. The Power have outscored their opponents by 30 points per game from clearances, Barra, ranked number one. However, they've lost 3 of their last 4 games against Melbourne, having a 4-point win in their most recent game. Melbourne, again in the headlines this week, Barra, and May out, 1 week minimum, we expect it to be more. Lever, the word is, still faces a fitness test, so let's see how he goes. So both of those are out. It's going to be a tough journey for Melbourne. You give them every chance the way they're humming along at the moment.
Hang on, you've got to win them in the Premiership.
I have, but I'm not picking them at Adelaide Oval. I'm picking Port.
Really?
At Adelaide Oval.
So this is Port Adelaide's big test.
It is.
The first real test for the season.
Yep.
And you know Jason Horne-Francis is not playing.
Yep.
Okay, so he's out. But Clayton Oliver, is he going to be out as well? There's a question mark over him, isn't there? Didn't he? Because and it's nothing to do with the, you know what, is it? Or...
No,
nothing to do with that. Okay, so if he's not playing...
He's in ripping nick at the moment, like as in form, mindset.
Apart from being injured.
Yeah, apart from that. But no, he's a pretty strong boy.
Yeah, Can you look it up? I'm pretty sure he's not playing.
No, I'm not sure about that.
Let me just check for you, mate. I'll just tell you the news. Oliver set for scan after training mishap.
Is that today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Left training early on Wednesday. Injury to his hand. Dislocated finger. But you can play with
those, can't you? Dislocated finger, you play with it. Just like, stick a bit of grass in between your fingers, tape it up, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think
he's not a tall forward or a tall defender.
Put grass between it. What do you mean? Why grass?
Just a bit of cushioning there to help stop the swelling against the other finger.
Why wouldn't you put just...
Once you've pulled it out, pulled it back into place when it's sticking out at right angles.
Mate.
Jeez, I hated that. I could never do it. You always ask someone else to do it.
Isn't that horrible? Yeah. That happened to me in rugby league. And then they said, you're going back out there? I was going, no way, mate. I've just disregarded my finger. And they might have thought I was soft as you know what.
What about Andrew Johns when he was got into that boxing bout in the State of Origin? And he's we shouldn't laugh about this because this is exactly what we were trying to prevent. Anyway, he's in the dressing rooms. He's been knocked unconscious. He wakes up. He's got some stitches around his mouth. And then he reckons I could just smell stale beer and Winfield Blue. And I looked up and there's the coach, Tommy Radonikis, looking at me going, get back out of there.
Oh, yeah. That's your gun. No, I don't feel well, Tommy. So you think Port Adelaide, eh?
At home.
Jeez. Yeah, well, May's not playing. They reckon Lever plays. All right, I'll stay with Port Adelaide with you, but I'm not convinced.
On to Sunday morning, 10 a.m, another early start for the West Australian teams travelling. Western Bulldogs, $1.05 at Marvel Stadium. The West Coast Eagles,
$10. $10?
The Bulldogs?
They beat them there last year.
I know, in round 23. I asked the co-captain Liam Duggan about that this week, and he said, it sort of helps, but he said we look forward, not back. I mean, it's a long time ago. So 28-intercept marks against Gold Coast last week, a club record. So... And many of those in defence. So doing quite well back there. It was their deficiency. Liam Jones and Kumis, who's slotted in quite well. Three of the last four games between these sides at Marvel Stadium, Barra, have been decided by 7 points. And the Eagles have won twice. So they've sort of got form there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Do you give them any chance?
That's disrespectful.
Do you give them any chance?
The $10.
Do you reckon you're having a bit of a crack at the 10?
Man, what would the margin be? It'd be 50 points or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the line.
The line would be 50 points, I reckon. You'd have to take that. And that's disrespectful. $10. Honestly.
So did they play
that's
Jack?
Scant regard. Shorty, come back in here, defend this.
Do they play Jack Darling?
Yeah, they've got to. I mean, there's...
Structure?
They've just got no one else. You know what I mean? What are you going to do there?
So...
The big question, I reckon, is does Gaff come back in?
Yeah, I don't think so.
He's good in Melbourne. He's had 29 possessions. What do they say?
So my argument is you bring him in later in the season...
When the season's over.
No, when the season, well, it probably is already, Barrett. But I mean, you get in the meaty part of winter, when it, you know, the young blokes are starting to get a bit sore because it's
fodder.
Very hard to get through a season.
Put him in like cannon fodder.
Well, no, you bring him in as the sub, so he comes in late in games and helps out. But look, he may demand, and he don't do that in 1 week of waffle, Barrett. In one practice match.
They look like they turned the corner of the Bulldogs. Surely they couldn't lose again. Like, it was round 23, mate. It's not that long ago.
So the question...
Did you get that?
Yeah, I did.
Round 23.
I mentioned
so
that
when
about
you was, when
3 minutes
man
ago.
Duggan was saying that it was a long time ago, did you say, mate, it was round 23?
Yeah, it's still a long time ago.
That's not a long time ago.
6 months, mate.
That was just round the corner. They should be buoyed by that.
So the questions for the Dogs, do they bring in Jack McRae? 40-odd possessions in the VFL last week. And Rory Lobb kicked 4 in the VFL. Might just stretch that West Coast defence a little bit more if he plays.
Nah, don't put him in. The Eagles will be better when Liam Ryan and Dom Sheed return. Jinby, he's got to play off halfback.
Mm-hmm.
He's a halfback. He played in the midfield and pretty tough. Hoffey had a good... He went and matched up on Toby Green.
Did a good job.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't too bad, but he's really more of a winger, in my opinion. He's not big. He's not even heavy. And Tyler Brockman, at the moment, he's in the forward line going, the ball doesn't come down here. What am I supposed to do? Like, I reckon put him off halfback as well.
Just get him into the game.
Just get all your best players behind the ball. That would be my advice
to
you, Simo.
What do you do with Jack in terms of, do you get him, do you move him? And I noticed in the last Sunday, he was sort of up around the wing in the early stages trying to get his hands on the footy.
Mm.
And he looked a bit up and about early. Do you get him, I mean, would it be, outrageous to do something like just start him at a couple of ruck contests in the just to get him amongst it.
Put him in the ruck. Yeah. Last year they put him in the ruck.
So do they stick with Barnett this week? And maybe the other one is Jack Williams and Ryan Marrick.
I reckon Jameson's got to be the backup ruckman.
Okay.
Seriously, because poor old Barnett, I love Barnett, but he got smashed. Mm-hmm. Like he'd still be in shock.
And up against Tim English this week.
Mm. Oh, mate, it's a tough job.
So poor old Bailey probably has to really shoulder the responsibility again. Because Bailey Williams, they're going to look better when he's down in that forward line.
No doubt.
Stiffens him up a bit.
Just bite the bullet. And JD, I don't know, mate. You know what JD was doing last week? It was going, where's Sam Taylor? I'm running the other way. Yeah. Mate, get away from Sam Taylor.
Well, he had equal time on Sam Taylor and Buckley. And they're two bloody good players, so it was pretty hard for him. Plus, the inside 50 wasn't great. Barrett, just two players who are on the cusp as well is Clay Hall, coming back from injury. He's a pretty handy type. And also Kobe Bergil, so he's a pretty quick-running halfback. So they're both of those. Yeah. Expect them to be injected into the
Bergil
side of some
place. Bergil?
Bergil,
yep. Is it? So Bergil knocking on the door.
Yep.
They like that Tyrell Dewar as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they send Brockman back and put Dewar up there.
Maybe. Well, you've got to get games into these kids.
I think they have to. If they bring back Gaff, that'll be a big story.
So I'm picking the Western Bulldogs, of course, but
I'm backing the Eagles at the line.
I was going to say. I thought you were going to say I'm backing the Eagles. So just
10
at the
bucks.
Line.
Disrespectful. Okay. That's just disrespectful.
On to Sunday, 1 p.m., Richmond, $3.50. Sydney Swans, $1.30. Richmond averaging just 62.7 uncontested marks per game, ranked 18th in the AFL. Richmond has actually led at half time, but gone on to lose in both of their last two matches. Sydney, as we know, flying at the moment, however, has won just one of their last six matches at the MCG and lost to Richmond in round 17 last year by 13 points. The Swans have laid 39 tackles in their forward 50 over the first three rounds, the most of any team in the competition. So they love to lock the ball in that forward line. I'm tipping that they're going to go 2 from 7 at the MCG, Barra, and win this game.
The Tigers, are they really bad or are they just not so bad? What's your view? Are they? They've been feisty, haven't they?
Facing the realisation that they're in transition and it's tough at the moment because have they really even started their rebuild? Probably not. Mm. But you look at their side.
And where's Dusty?
And you think, well, you've got Dusty, Liam Baker, Dusty Tim Taranto, Shai Bolton, Tom Lynch, and you think this side's got a bit to it and a bit of experience down back as well. But Sydney at the moment, mate, they are flying.
And the only thing I'd say is that it does worry me. It's at the MCG for Sydney, though they did beat Collingwood there, didn't they? Mm-hmm. But that's
Taylor Adams a chance to come back into that Sydney side as well as Robbie Fox. So Taylor, it's going to be interesting when they get Mills. When they get Taylor Adams, these types back in, what do they do? Because you've got Isaac Heaney flourishing in the midfield at the moment.
Yeah.
You're going to have to shift a few players around. Does Mills maybe go to a half back, which he's played a bit of footy at? You're just going to have to shake it around a bit.
The Swannies have only won 1 of 6 at the MCG in recent times, but it was beating the Pies. So obviously the Sydney Swans. You know, I know when the Eagles are going to win their next game.
When's that, mate?
Round 5. So they're going to go in and get at Optus Stadium against Richmond. Both teams are going to be winless because the Eagles have got Sydney next week as well. And they've got the Bulldogs this week. And the Tigers have got a tough draw. And I reckon the Eagles will get them. There you go.
Hey, they have won one stat this year so far. Did you know that? They have won the ground ball count in each of the opening two rounds. This facet has been a clear improvement, which started in the back half of 2023. So their ground ball gets, Barra, which is part of the contest, which is what they're doing well in. Last game before we get on to some mail. Monday, Easter Monday, MCG, Hawthorn, 3:20. Geelong, $1.35. That's a 12:20 p.m. Western Standard Time start. Patrick Dangerfield out. Mitch Duncan in. Bruin and Atkins also in the frame. Mitch Duncan, Barra, averages 31 disposals, 10 marks, 465 metres gain and 7.7 score involvements in his last three games against Hawthorn and coming into the side. So Hawthorn has won just 5 of its 20 matches at its home ground, Barra, the MCG, since the start of 2022, mm-hmm. with an average losing margin of 38 points. Huswaite is a chance to come into the Hawthorn midfield. Jai Sarong, brother of, in defence. He's a pretty handy type. And also Ethan Phillips into defence. Tell you what, mate, centre bounce, their clearances have been appalling. So the rubbish they played across half-back last week, Hawthorn. They need to address that, and they need to address. So expect a response from Hawthorn in that first quarter. I think it'll be a lot tighter this game than people think. And you give some Hawthorn some chance, but I clearly can't pick them, and I'm going Geelong.
There's a couple of things I was going to mention. Sam Mitchell, his halo's sort of dropped a little bit, hasn't it, or gone a bit dark. Is he the genius that we think he is?
Well,
his halo's
dropped and the opposition are using it for frisbee practice, Barry.
Yeah. Is he overthinking it? Or because I understand the back line because they've got Blank, Granger Barras and Jyath out, haven't they? So I get that. But what's happened to the midfield? Why are they so flat?
Huswaite gives them a big inside body presence, but Jai Newcomb's been down on form. Will Day's the one who's missing from that midfield who really
that's the only one.
But he's very important. Best and fairest winner last year.
But how
year.
Can you go from being ball winners to getting pants in the midfield?
It's a very good question.
And Newcomb's in there, Warpole's in there, Nash is in there. They've won just 5 centre clearances against Melbourne. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I do.
They won in the entire match against Melbourne, 5 centre clearances.
Yeah, it's appalling.
The whole match. That's like averaging 1 and a bit per quarter.
So you're picking
Geelong. Down 21 clearances in the last fortnight. So they're very impossible to tip them. And it's you mentioned Hawkins 350, right?
No, I haven't.
Tommy Hawkins 350, eh?
Still playing decent footy too.
Amazing. Isn't he an amazing bloke?
It looked like 10 years ago, it looked like he was gone. He had those back issues. But what a remarkable career it's been. Barrett, we've got to get onto some mail. You're picking the Cats, obviously.
Yeah, what year is he in?
Oh, so I'm going to guess 17?
18.
There you go.
18's Tommy Hawkins. You're a legend, and I'm tipping Geelong.
Now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Thank you to our long-time sponsor, Thirsty Camel, a special this week, and they are better than Easter eggs, Barrow. Great Northern Super Crisp 24s, only $49.99 a carton. We are giving away a $50 gift voucher thanks to Thirsty Camel. Get your questions in for next week. They are flooding in Barrow.
Oh, yeah.
Get them into Quarters and Barrow at wanews.com.au. We'll be giving away a winner shortly. Firstly, I wanted to address a question from last week from Simon Dermody about that score review when they kicked the ball out, and I think it was in the Nick Vlaschin tackle saved a goal. The score review, he kicked it out, put the Carlton defenders just at the top of the goal square. I checked it out. The rule change in 2019 states from a kick in, it's 10 metres from the top of the square. So they got that wrong. So thanks for that email, Simon. You were quite right. They got it wrong. Interesting one, Barra, from Peter. He's gone to a bit of trouble here. I have a concept for equalisation as plenty of evidence that travel impacts longevity in a game. Using the current list numbers and salary cap as a baseline, what if the amount of travel each year was used to add list spots and subsequent salary cap space? Ain't going to happen, but it's interesting anyway. Might look something like this. For every 10,000 kilometres over the average, you get an extra list spot and cap. Based on 2023, Barra, it would look like the following. 3 for West Coast, 57,000. 2 for Frio, 51,000. And Gold Coast, 54,000. Can't believe that. And 1 for Port Adelaide. Anyone under 15,000 should lose one, but we'll let that one go. Each year, WA teams would always get a minimum of 2. Queensland and SA teams will get 1, except unless they fall below average for the previous year. Interesting, ain't going to happen, but I think what he does is raises a very good point about the tyranny of travel, particularly faced by the West Coast clubs.
Mate, can I just add to that?
Yep.
Would that be all right?
Yeah, of course.
So obviously, the big push now is for a 12th home game for both our clubs, and I think that's got to happen now. That's that in terms of equalisation, they've got 11 home games plus the 13th home game. So a 13th home game, because they've got 11 now, haven't they, and one in the Derby. So 13th home game. So added a home game against the Victorians, because Pavlich, I looked at Pav's record, he travelled to the moon and back during his career. Mm-hmm. To the friggin' moon and back, 855,000 kilometres. Don't tell me that doesn't have an effect on a player.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you.
855,000 kilometres compared to what Collingwood and that travel. So that push for an extra home game, that's got to be the go. And I love that bloke's email.
This one from Paul from Kalgoorlie. Hi, guys. For an extra home game for WA clubs, may I point out the Kangaroos v Dockers pulled a crowd of 17,800. Collingwood have been hosting away games at the G for years under the guise of crowd numbers. Surely a 50-odd thousand crowd at Optus would tick a number of boxes. Cheers, that's Paul from Kalgoorlie. Raises a very good point.
I like it as well.
High quarters and Barra. Good to hear you back for another year. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, the weekend showed how farcical last year's North Melbourne assistant package was. The problem isn't just that it's unfair to prop a team up, but the flow-on effect to West Coast and Hawthorn, who have now been denied greater talent by being pushed down the draft order. Hawthorn and Sam Mitchell especially is being attacked in the media and now will be unfairly leapfrogged in their development. That's from Connor. Frustrated, footy, tragic. Connor, that is a great email. Couldn't agree with you more about North Melbourne getting way too much help. You don't get a trainer for being fit and unlazy, i.e. You don't get a runner, i.e. Arjuna Ranatunga.
Exactly. What's the story there, my friend?
Oh, I remember he was asking for a runner, and Ian Healy behind the stump said, you don't get a... I won't go into
a
the
runner
entire...
runner for being a...
Something, F, something unlazy. F, yeah. It was great.
Yeah, right.
One of the great bits of audio you've ever... this one from Andrew, High Quarters and Barrett. Is it time for Adam Simpson to put on his army greens and impersonate Vladimir Zelensky? Luke Beveridge is a crazy dictatorial coach and at strength not unlike Vladimir Putin. That's a bit harsh on old Bevo. Have you also observed that the Western Bulldogs wear Russian colours and the Eagles Ukraine colours? Promote it as a mockbuster, a Marvel battle, good versus evil. I like where he's going.
Not touching that one.
Okay. Oh, you can't. G'day, Quarters and Barra. Is it possible that the end of season trade period and the draft are being done in the wrong order? Putting the draft first would mean that clubs could recruit strategically with a view to being able to on-trade their recruits. So, for example, Adelaide could make a favourable trade to West Coast for Dan Curtin and get a couple of future high picks for the next draft. It would make things a bit more interesting, and then clubs would have the trade period to bring in any talent they still lack after the draft. The only downside that I can see is that rookies would get geared up to join a club and then they could get traded on to another club before playing a single game. It's just a bit of blue sky thinking. What do you fellows think of this? That one is from James Brown. I feel good.
Curtin,
does he play against Freo?
Surely. Round three. Home ground
debut.
Back here, bring his whole family, the whole Claremont Footy Club will be there. But that was a good email because it is blue sky thinking, but the problem is exactly what he said. He answered his own question. What do you do when they get traded as soon as they've been drafted? Well, not so good.
So, Barra, we've got to decide a winner. Now, I did also really like... we don't often have Tuesday winners, so perhaps we should look at one this week. Mike from Scarborough emailed us on Tuesday about Peter Wright and the onus being on both the player going back with the flight of ball as much as the player going for the ball. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's definitely a big talking point. I'd love to hear from people about the AFL drugs situation too, what their suggestions or what their reaction is to the news that, you know, they can escape scot-free many times.
Now, Mike, you are the winner this week. Please send your details to quartersandbarra@wanews.com.au and we will make sure the $50 gift voucher goes your way. A couple of emails I missed out on reading. I will get to them next Tuesday. Good luck for round three. Mm-hmm. And good luck to all our listeners. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch, download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Barra, all the best for the waffle this weekend.
Yes, start of the waffle season. Get out and support your local teams. It's great. You can get on the ground, have a kick with your kids. Spectacular.
And support your AFL teams as well, whoever they may be. Good luck with your tipping. We'll look forward to talking to you on Tuesday when we pull apart round three.